I guess the recording has started. Well, God bless everybody. Tonight we're going to get into some sections of the Word, and I really read this section every year, at least once, twice, three times. It's one of my favorite parts, and it starts in John chapter 17, and it's Jesus Christ getting ready to be taken and crucified. And I have read this section so many times, and every time I read it, I see something different, something better, something more that just moves my heart even to a greater commitment to my Lord and Savior and to God. And so I want to start there, and then we're going to look at a few verses that will hopefully encourage us and bless us to tap into who we are in Christ. So I'm going to start in verse Romans. Did I tell you that? 17. And Jesus Christ here is getting ready to be manifested, to be taken, and he's praying in the garden. This is one of the times when he prayed in the garden. And verse 6 is where I want to start. Now remember this. He knows the Word, you guys. He knows the Scriptures. He knows what's coming. He knows what he's going to go through. And it blows my mind what he does when he prays. So we're going to start in verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men who you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be ours as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's getting ready to do the hardest things ever had to do. And he is focused on these men that God asked him to care for. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Wow. Now, what love. He has spent time with these men, he's taught them the word, they face difficulties together, and here they are, towards what he knows is the end of his life on this earth, coming very soon. And he prays for them with all his heart. But then I get to verse 20, and this just blows my mind. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they all may be one as you, Father, and I, as you are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He's talking about us. You realize that? I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Wow. I come to that verse and it just humbles me. It's almost like I have no words to express what it does to my heart.
What a great privilege it is to be God's children, to be His sons and daughters. Look about in verse 22.
And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, I'm going to read that again. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that they will, and the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. Now, I'm a mom, and I know how much I love my son. And for Jesus Christ to be able to say these things about God and about God's love, not only for him, but for those who will believe, that's us. God loves us as much as he loves Jesus Christ. And that, to me, it's like joyful, astounding. My heart melts. I'm so thankful. That's verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that when they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, it is God and Christ in us. And right here, he's saying, he's making a declaration. I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, for me, this is one of the greatest statements about love I've ever read. The love of God in Christ is in us. Our identification in Christ is centered on love. So I want to go to some verses. We're just going to read some verses about Christ in us. And as we read them, I want you to really consider, this is who you are. This is who I am. This is what we can and should do. Like that, when they get to them. So that when you see yourself taking a detour, you can pull that list down and remember who you are. Christ did not take a detour. Could he? He could have. How many times in the garden did he say, your will be done, not mine? He could have, but he didn't. He stayed. And one of the things he focused on wasn't himself. It was those whom he loved, those whom he taught the word to. Wow. What a Savior we have living in us. What power and ability if we will understand our identification. So let's go to some verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and as the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We're called according to his purpose. And we know that God is faithful. And when he calls us to do something,
He is faithfully going to help us do it. Just like he said in the manifestation seminar, he is always with us, closer than our birth. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm using the King James Version just so you guys know. Chapter 5, verse 17. The New King James, I'm sorry. The New King James Version. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Yep. He is a new creation. And old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What? Remember when we buy a new car, a new dress, new pair of shoes, new golf clubs, whatever blesses your heart, how excited you are about that? Because you got something new? Well, you are a new creation every single day you take breath. We all are. What a great thing to get excited about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Gosh, guys, these verses are about us. It's just amazing to me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are righteous before God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is part of who we are. That is part of the Christ in you and me. And if you go through the scriptures and you look at Jesus Christ's life and his response to the things that God had him do, that power is in you and me. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. Man, right? That verse covers a lot right there. We're walking on this earth and we're getting the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of Christ, of who we are. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Wow. That is just amazing. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That hope is him coming back to get us, guys. The hope of his calling is his return to get us, to be seated in the heavenlies with him. What are the riches of the glory of his saints, of the inheritance in the saints? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? I don't think it's things. I think it's understanding the hope of his calling. It's understanding who we are in Christ. The old man is dead. Do we make mistakes? Yes. But you know what? Christ lives within us. We see those mistakes. He gives us the courage and he gives us the ability to change and to ask for forgiveness and move on. Because his love and God's love for us is not conditional on whether we do something correctly or not. His love and his acceptance of us is because of what Christ did. And Christ living in us gives us the opportunity to walk as closely as we can to how he walked. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, if you ever think, man, what in the heck? Why am I even here? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works,
which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Open the word. Go to the church epistles. Read who you are in Christ. We all get challenged. We all need to continue to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Jesus Christ, the night he was taken, wasn't just praying for himself, although he did that too. He went to the Father, and he knew, but he went to the Father. And when he was done with that, he prayed for his disciples. He prayed for all of us, all of those who will believe in his name. I tell you, that is an example, you guys. We sometimes sell ourselves so short because of this physical body and our physical brain sometimes. We think we can't change. We think we can't get over something. We can, because we are his workmanship. God decided this is how we could be, and we said yes. We were smart enough to say yes, and that means we're smart enough to continue to look and get the deliverance we need when things happen. When we don't understand, we got to go to God. Okay? First, let's go to Philippians 4:13. It says that probably everybody on this phone line knows this, but I love this one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, do you believe that's the word of God? I do. Sometimes I don't act like it. Sometimes it takes me a couple of hours and maybe sometimes a couple of days to say, wait a minute, I can get past this. I can do that because of who I am in Christ. It's not Vicky, it's Christ. That ability is right there. And that's the way it is for all of us who are born again. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. I know I'm pounding this, but you know what? It's some of the greatest stuff we can read from God's word, because it's what God thinks of us. Colossians 3 verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, he's calling us the elect of God because that's who we are. Holy and beloved, put on mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love. I'm just taking a break on that word, love. Wow, that's one of the most simple things we can do if we allow Christ in us to be what's coming out of our hearts, out of our mouths, out of our thoughts, because it all starts with our thoughts. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Do you think in the garden when our Lord was talking to God, to his heavenly Father, to our Abba, do you think God filled his heart? Do you think God gave him peace? Of course he did. He let the peace of God rule in his heart. He knew who to go to so that he could do what he had to do. Sometimes we need to let the peace rule in our hearts so that God can get through to us. These are all characteristics of Jesus Christ, who is alive within us, you guys. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Man, that one in Colossians is a big, powerful thing that God asked us to do, right? But you know what? God wouldn't ask us to do it if he didn't enable us to do it. And I know that in the book of Ephesians, there's a great verse there. Let's go there. Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That is how we're supposed to treat each other. That's how we're supposed to treat the people around us, whether they're born again or not. We're supposed to be that example of Christ. You know, in Galatians, there's a verse that talks about we're to do good, especially unto the household of God. And the especially word, whatever word preceded, it's talking about the best part of those words. We are to be especially good unto the household. If you go to Ephesians chapter, where we are in chapter 4 to verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake has forgiven you. Those are the greatest things we can give to one another. That forgiveness, that tenderheartedness, that patience, that love that Christ always showed to those that he loved, to those that he had to teach and help to see the greatness of who they are before God took him out of here and we wait his return. So I wanted to go through some of these verses. There are so many verses about who we are in Christ in the church epistles. And I tell you what, it's a great thing sometimes to just sit down and look for them and read them and remember this is who he was praying about. This is what he was praying about before the soldiers came and took him. So we have a wonderful Heavenly Father. We have a great big brother at the right hand of our Abba, and we're waiting for him to come back. And in the meantime, he didn't leave us helpless. It's God in Christ in us. I mean, it can't get any more powerful than that on this earth. Remember, that's who you are. That's the power that lives in you. That's the love. That's the forgiveness. It's not just a little bit. It's Christ. It's how much he loved. It's how much he forgave. It's how much he ministered and helped and gave people the right words at the right time. All of that we just saw was given to us. So let's use it. I love you guys. God bless.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you for these great words of wisdom and counsel. And Father, teach us more and more and more every day about your love as we walk out claiming those beautiful promises, and that you're going to put situations and people right in front of us, Lord, to exercise love. And that's an exciting adventure. And I pray that we just continue to move forward with your goodness and in your grace, Father, until that great day that the trumpet sounds. And it's going to happen so quickly, I'm not even sure we'll hear more than one note. But thankful that you love us, God, the way you do. In Christ's name, amen.